God's touched you and used you. I love you, brother. Amen.
I don't do no social drinking, so you'll have to take care of this. All right. We're here. We might as well enjoy it. Amen. And brothers and sisters, hadn't it been good? Thank you, Brother Steve. Sister Barbara. Isn't it amazing how his whole family is just right in the heart of this, every heartbeat of it. It's amazing to watch them as they do and work. It's just that's a miracle how God can bring up one family all together and have the same heart for the same thing. And all the workers, cooks, those that clean, have to have everything going. This thing is a machine. It has to be working constantly. And then the preachers. It's just every message. Every single one of them has made me say, man, I believe that's the best I've heard along that line. I felt, you're talking about favor. I felt favored this week on every sermon that I have heard. I realize that we've got an un-American government right now that has full intention of a frontal attack on the church. That will begin with the man of God. But I hadn't heard a servant of God that I believe is going to bow. Amen. They're going to have trouble. I don't think they're going to get accomplished what they think they are when they come after us. And started out as a young preacher, 20 years old. Sitting at Brother Larry's feet. Can you imagine that? And what an impact he had on my life. And him and Sister Sandy, all these years have continued down that same path. And I've often said what Brother Steve has told us, that there's, I think, Brother Larry is the only preacher you could ever say this about, and it'd be a compliment. And that is, I heard him at 20 years old, and now I'm listening to him at 67, and he's exactly the same. But I said, how do you improve on that? I mean, it just is. And, boy, I just feel so privileged to be able to sit each night and enjoy the preaching that he does. He told Esther, said, you still hanging around that preacher? She said, Brother Larry, if you hadn't have married us, it's just the fact you married us, I'd have left him a long time ago. So I appreciate, Brother Larry, you've held our marriage together. All these preachers talking about the wives. I told Esther one time, I said, honey, I'd be scared to death to talk to the man of God like you talk to me. And I would. Don't phase her. She said, well, you're my husband. But you give me a good one, Brother Larry. I'm going to hold on to her. And I appreciate it. Enjoyed all the preaching, especially Jackie. I just couldn't have put that together. Prayed many a prayer for what I felt, even as my brother. I loved him. Jack, my oldest brother, prayed many a prayer. In my mind, I felt like one of the most wicked men I'd ever met. And never in his presence that there was any reception as far as the gospel was concerned. And I would pray, I'd say, Lord, if you would save Jack, that would be like greater than the splitting of the Red Sea. That's what I thought. And guess what? He saved him. But while he's splitting that Red Sea, he threw Jackie in there. And his precious little wife and these youngins. And here we are in camp meeting. I'll never forget, I guess the first time he was here, it was on. I mean, it was on.
Yeah.
He was there in his own world right beside me, and he hollered out. He didn't know anybody else was listening. He said, I've never seen the seven wonders of the world, and I don't care. I said, hallelujah. Of course, I told him, I said, now, Jackie, I don't mind you going to these meetings going around, but when they start saying, get the nephew, he don't stutter. He don't lose his place. Get the nephew. Somebody told me the other day, said, he's just like you. I said, good. When I die, they can bury him. Ain't that right? But he doesn't have to try. He's just come out of those same loins. Our actions are the same. I knew that the first day we come in contact after he got saved. I went back home and I told my kids. I said, well, y'all got another brother. They said, what are you talking about? I said, well, he's coming. You'll find out. And he's just part of the family. But the Lord worked all that all out. I can remember up on that dark, lonely hill there in West Virginia. Prayed so much for my brothers. Of course, one of my brothers, Joe, got saved the same time I did, about a month apart, and called to preach and started pastoring the same time. But it seemed like the Lord was doing nothing in my family for so long. And I buried three of my brothers as drunks, cirrhosis of the liver. I remember coming down that hill, seemed like God hadn't touched anybody, and I said, Lord, why? I hear of you touching so many families and people getting saved, and why didn't you touch mine? And he said to me, well, you don't know what I'm doing, and just think about what I've done for you. And now, to this day, there's six of us preaching. And my nephew did a little old thing he put together for himself personally and just some in the family. And right now, as far as professions of faith, there has been 60 in our family. Never know what the Lord's doing. My dad never a record, never on record he ever, ever went to church. And think of that, six of his direct descendants, sons and grandsons preaching the gospel. And 60 of his children and grandchildren professing Christ. The Lord just sent forth an army out of nothing. And I thank him for doing it. Amen. So if I get a little excited when Jackie's preaching, you know why. I know where it came from. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. I'm going to read a portion of one verse. It's that little statement. And when he had spent all. We've looked at these parables, and of course, what Jesus is doing is he's reaching out and bringing worlds together, laying them down, so that we can see one inside of the other. The world of the natural, where you are, where you live, the ordinary. And in the midst of that, while you're there, letting you realize that there's something more to what you are seeing. There is the world of the spiritual. But then letting you realize that right in the midst of that parable, you can find yourself somewhere. Makes it so personal and so life-changing. And then, of course, the biggest thing you see is has been preached all week is Jesus. Somewhere in that parable, you're going to find God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and sometimes all three. And if you really, really see in that parable what he wants you to see and you need to see and you have to see, it will change your life. And it is here in this parable that we see, of course, the Father who has it all, provides it all. But yet we see the Son, whom the Scripture said spent it all. And I want to look into that and emphasize this matter. What I'm going to say is not readily seen. But if you can see it, it'll reveal as much as what you see. Amen. And that which is not said in this text, if you can hear it, will say as much as what has been said. That's true in every text, if you can just look and listen. The emphasis is the prodigal son spent all. And that's all he had. That's all you can spend. Which suggests it is possible in this old world to spend it all. He spent it all. He spent his mind. He spent his money. He spent his health. He spent his time. He spent his wealth. He spent every single dime.
Yes, he did.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to take what has been given to me and throw it away.
Right.
And cast it to the wind. I want to just give you four or five sayings down through here, if you can see them and if you can hear them. Though they're not said nor seen, they are implied. First of all, I notice in this prodigal son, as he goes in to this far country, the Scripture said in that verse, he spent all. But I want to say to you, he spent all, but he had nothing. He did not earn what he spent. He did not make what he spent. If you'll notice in the Scripture in verse number 12, he took his father's living into the far country. And then in verse number 30, his brother told his father, he spent his living. You see, the best you can do in spending is spend that which has been invested in you, that which has been given you. Think about it. If you were to subtract everything from your life that someone else has put there, you would be left with nothing. He was spending that which was not his own. His body was given to him. His breath was given to him. And all of his belongings came from his father. He was raised. He was taught. He was schooled. He was fed. He was invested in to the extreme extent, so that he had been given all that he had. Can I say to you, you have been given directly or indirectly everything that you have. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Aren't you glad for all you've got? Have you pondered all that you have? I think about on the natural level, that which has been given to me. Even in a physical sense, a mother that would birth you into this world, a father that would raise you, a teacher that would teach you, a preacher that would preach to you, a church that would love you, folks that would pray for you, the time that has been spent on you, the money that has been invested in you, all the instructions that you have been given. Can we say that everything we have has come to us? We were not born with it. It was not ours, it was given. But yet it is possible, as we see even in this hour, this great nation that was here when we got here. Amen. And all that we enjoy in our liberties and our freedoms that were fought for and won so that we could live and enjoy them. But it seems as though we're living in an hour when folks are willing to throw all of that away. They are willing to give all of that up. It is as if it means nothing to them and has no value. But I'm going to tell you why. Because they ain't put nothing into it. They've given nothing to it. It has all been handed down to us. I don't want to throw my liberties away. I don't want to spend it all. When I think of all that has been invested in you and all that has been invested in me, not only in the physical level, but the spiritual level, for all of those that, as I say, have given to us of the gospel, all of those that have given to us of the Spirit, and of love, and of all of those heavenly aspects, I don't want to give, I don't want to spend that. Amen. All that I am by what God gave me in His grace. I do not want to exploit that. I do not want to give that up. He spent all, but he had nothing of his own. How humbling it is to say that we would be nothing if it were not for others. The second thing that I would have you to notice, he spent all, but had nothing. But it is evident if you can see it, he spent all on nothing. Look in the text and show me anything. No young man went into that country with more. I mean, he brought his father's living. Wagon load after wagon load after wagon load, his pockets are full. And he begins from the day that he gets there, throwing all of that away. Spending every bit of that sort of in a whirlwind of his living. Wasting, the Bible said, all of it. Not a portion of it. He wasted all of it. Every single dime on righteous
living, the Bible said. And when his journey was over and he was empty, he had no possession that he could bring back with him and say, look what I bought. I'm so glad I did. There was nothing of value that he could be proud of that he could show for what he'd spent. There were no substances that he carried when he came back. He had all of that money with the potential to add to his life. But everything he spent subtracted from his life. Amen. And can I say, when you're spending, honey, you're not adding, you're subtracting. Especially on the spiritual level, so that it left him with nothing. Not only did he spend all of his money, but he spent all and was left with nothing to show for what he had spent.
You're right.
Amen.
Several years ago, I was up in Ohio in a meeting. The pastor wanted to go to a community yard sale where everybody's selling their junk. But I like to go. We've had them, sold our junk. And we were looking from house to house, but I'm going to tell you something. We came upon this one place, and right there on the table was a bowling ball. And it was $3. A bowling ball for $3. And we got, you want to put your hand in it and find out if it'll fit. And it fit my wife's hand perfectly. $3, you can't pass that up. Only problem is we never bowl. Maybe 3 or 4 times in our life, but it's $3. Oh, I was so proud of what I bought. I laid that $3 down quick before somebody else got it. We took it back home and put it in our little shed. 15 years later, we were moving, going into evangelism, cleaning out the shed, and guess what we found? No, it wasn't $3 at that time. All I got was a dollar out of it. I spent 3 and only got 1. I don't want God to spend all he spent on me and get nothing out of it. I don't want to bring home nothing from all I've been given. Too much has been invested for me to bring come home empty. The grace that has been given us. The mercy that has been shown us. The love that has been shed abroad inside. And you mean to tell me you want to come home with nothing? You got absolutely nothing to show. Now think about it. Of all the time for you individually, me individually, can be calculated up that others have spent on you, how much time would that be? Beginning with your mother that carried you 9 months and birthed you into this world, and then taking care of you as an infant, and then raising you and feeding you and washing your clothes and tending to you and then sending you to school and paying that money and some on into college and all of those things in that physical sense. And then all that has been placed in you in a spiritual sense. The many hours that the man of God spends alone with God praying and seeking a word just for you.
this camp meeting and all that we've talked about that has taken place here, your own local church, your own preacher and all those saints there, everything. I mean, could you measure the minutes? If all the food that has been prepared for you on every level throughout your life, this tabernacle wouldn't hold all the food that one person has ate. Have you thought about it? Have you thought about all the blood that was shed so you could have a word that was so precious and so full? Fullness was invested in this boy's life. Fullness was invested. He had the Father's living and he ended up with nothing. I don't want to end up with nothing. I don't want to spend all of that as if it's nothing.
You'll spend all on nothing when what you've got really means nothing. I say to you, he spent all, but he had nothing. He spent all on nothing of any value. Solomon called it vanity. It's like blowing bubbles. So intriguing to a child, but once you touch it, nothing inside. It's gone. I don't want my life to be a bubble, a bowling ball, that when it's all over, there's nothing there. I don't want a preacher to have a hard time preaching my funeral because there's nothing to say. So I notice he spent all but had nothing. He spent all on nothing. Another thing that I see in here that, and I hear, that's not readily seen or heard, but it is evident. He not only spent all on nothing, spent all and had nothing, spent all on nothing, he spent all and gave nothing. Gave nothing. You said, preacher, you can't make that. Oh, no, yes, I can.
Oh, yes, sir.
Again, the scripture said he spent it all on righteous living. Did you know there is not one promise in the Word of God that comes your way connected to spending? Now, we have to spend to live, but there ain't no promises in it. But that Bible is filled with promises for giving. He was living his whole life with all of that substance without one promise from God as he spent it.
Amen.
He was not casting his bread upon the water that it might return to him. I mean, he was not giving so that it would be given to him, pressed down and running over with men give into his bosom. He had no promises. He spent it all. He didn't give anything. He never saw the need of a child that he could take of all of that great resources and give a portion to. There were no critical situations, no hospitals, not even a mission work, no hearts of need. He went all through that. Spending of all of that with not one heavenly investment at all.
Amen.
He had so much to give and spent it all. Contributed nothing, nothing. He spent all, he had nothing. He's spent all on nothing. He spent all on and gave me. You see, it's not how much you have in life that counts. I'm afraid that's the attitude of America. It's how much you give that counts. How much you give that counts.
He spent all his father's living and didn't give anything. I thought of another son who left his home. He went into a far country. But he didn't spend it all. He gave it all. And while nothing came out of this boy's spending, everything came out of that boy's giving. No way to calculate what came out of one son's giving it all. On the cross, you and I are still benefiting of what he gave 2,000 years ago. I'm still living out of what he gave. Honey, if you give, your children will be able to live out of that. Your grandchildren will live out of that. Your great-grandchildren, other folks will be able to live off the Spirit of all you gave of your heart, of your time, of your life, of your spirit, of your love, of your grace. Other folks living off of what you're giving. Huh? Because that's what you're doing. You're living off of what other folks are giving. Huh? I say to you, he spent all, but he had nothing. He spent all on nothing. He spent all, and he gave nothing. And then this leaped out at me. It's in there. You'll have to look to find it. He spent all and became nothing. Did you notice that in the text? Now, I'm not his judge. He said it about himself. When he came back to the Father, he said, I'm not worthy to be a son. Make me as one. He said, Dad, I ain't got nothing. I've wasted everything. I'm coming home as a zero. I feel like I'm a nothing. I'm ashamed of all I've been, all I've done, and all I've spent. I'm a nobody. That's the way he felt. Honey, you get the spending of yourself and who you are and of your time and of your mind and of your money and of your wealth and all that other stuff, it's going to bring you to nothing. I don't care how much you got, how much has been given to you on every level. It's possible to come to the place, and we see it all the time, of people on the side of the road. They have come to nothing. Not from their giving, but from their spending. That was his assessment of himself. But it was also the view of the citizens of that country. Because he went to them to get help. And the Bible said no man gave unto him. They had watched all his spending, and here's what they said. Ain't no need to give him something. It'll go down the same hole. They saw no value in him. They saw no reason to invest in him. They saw no stock in him. They saw nothing that would come out of what they would be putting in. I don't want folks to see me that way. He has come to nothing in his view. He has come to nothing in the view of others. And you've, my brothers, as much as I prayed for them and tried to minister to them, I realized on a monetary sense that it would be in vain to invest in them because it was going down the same hole. They had taken all their energies, all their strengths, all of their gifts, and they had spent it all, and they had become a nothing. In their sight and in the sight of this old world. But I got good news for you. If you're here this morning and you say, preacher, you're preaching to me, I feel like a nothing. I'm telling you, my family don't feel like invested in me. I don't feel like that I have spent my life on anything of value. I feel like I'm a zero. I want to tell you something. Why you may feel like a zero in your sight, and you're a nothing to yourself, and you come to the place you feel like nobody else sees anything in you, you'll never be a nothing to the Father, honey. I'm going to tell you, he never viewed this boy, though he spent it all, as someone he wouldn't be willing to invest in.
I'm glad the Heavenly Father never sees us as nothing. Amen. He spent all. He had nothing. He spent all on nothing. He spent all. He gave nothing. He spent all and he became nothing. Here's my last thought. Really changed my heart in this. It let me see this parable in a different light. I'd always just skimmed over and preached about that old world and that wicked world and how wild it was and ungodly it was and how much it took from him. Well, let's don't blame it on the world. He'd have spent that no matter where he went. Hey, your condition ain't the world's fault. You young people, listen to me. Where you're at's not your friend's fault. Where you're at's not the school's fault. Where you're at's not the teacher's fault. What you do with your life is your fault. You're going to do it no matter who you're around. You might get a little more encouragement out of it. And parents, don't go to justifying your kids nor yourself concerning the circumstances and situations. Well, I'll tell you, old Betsy, she'd have been good, but if she hadn't been hemmed up with that other mule, I don't know. Which, you know. Put her around the mule and she didn't like it. No, the prodigal son's going to do what the prodigal son's going to do. But here's the thing. As I say to you, never, never, I think I could say never, a young man ever went into that country with more. The father's living. I mean, he brought it all with him. Woo! He brought it all with him. But let me finish that statement. No man ever brought as much into this world as he did, but left nothing. Left nothing. He spent all. Here's my thought. And it gave me a heart for that far country. He left nothing. If there ever was a world that needed to hear of a loving father. If there ever was a world that needed to hear of a forgiving God, and he knew about that because he said so, headed back to the house, that's why he went. If he'd have took some of that time and some of that energy and some of that ability and some that he had been, I mean, how much evangelism could he have done with all of that? But here's a world that only one hope in this parable, only hope they ever had was this boy. And when he pulled out, he left nothing.
No witness there. No sign there that he'd ever even been there for any good. As a matter of fact, that world would have been better off if he'd have never gone. There wouldn't have been a famine if he hadn't have been there.
If it had went down through the far country amongst all of those sinners in darkness and said, was there a young man that come through here that had a wonderful father that loved him and raised him, kissed him to bed each night and clothed him and took care of him and had a God that would forgive you? Ever? They said, there ain't never been nobody like that come through here. Hey, you ain't in that place to see how mean and ugly and nasty it is. You're there to leave a mark. And God's given you something to leave behind. So when you leave out, honey, there'll be something left there that'll leave an imprint upon them. That's what you're doing there. But he left nothing. Now, when he came back home, he repented. And he apologized on two occasions. He apologized to his father. And he apologized to heaven. But I'm just wondering if you could see it. That maybe there ought to have been another apology in there. Could have been he got back home and got it all right and said, Dad, I got to go back. Son, I thought you said, oh, I ain't going back like that. I'm thinking about all them boys I spent all wasted and lived my life like I did in that far country, Dad. They don't know nothing about you. They don't know nothing about heaven. They don't know nothing about God. They don't know nothing about forgiving. Dad, I got to go back. Ain't that what it does to you, what it did to you when you got right with God? You thought about all those places and all those people and all you done, and the first thing you want to do is head back. Hey, I'm back. You want to drink? No. I come back to tell you about a wonderful Father, tell you about a heaven, tell you about a hell, tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you something. We're all going to have to leave. It's been talked about so much. We're all going to have to check out. But I want to leave something behind. I want to leave something behind that when my grandchildren are thinking of me, they can't forget it. Years ago, I was listening to a preacher. And he preached a message on some things I want to leave behind. Just a topical sermon. Good. And I never forgot three of those thoughts. I thought, man, one of these days I might use that. Well, she had 17. But I won't fool with that. He said, when I leave this old world, he said, there's some things I want to leave behind. He said, first of all, he said, I want to leave behind a good testimony. I don't want people coming by thinking about shady things I did when I claimed to be a child of God. I want to leave behind a good testimony about the Lord Jesus. He said, secondly, I want to leave behind a worn-out Bible. He said, I want people to know that I loved the Word of God. I was asked to preach a funeral several years ago. I did not know the lady, and her son came to me, which I knew him, and he said, will you preach my mother's funeral? And I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, best thing I can do is bring her Bible to you and leave it with you for a week. He brought a Bible to me. Man, I'm going to tell you, every leaf of that Bible had the indications that she knew the God of that Bible.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The last thing he said sort of caught me sideways. I had to think about it. I was just a young preacher. He said, and the third thing I want to do is I want to leave behind a happy devil. So what do you want to leave behind a happy devil for? He said, I don't want him to be sad I'm gone. He said, I want to have haunted him. I want to have invaded his world. I want to have delivered folks out of his kingdom. He said, I want to have aggravated him, chewed on him, bit on him. I want to have made him so mad that he's going to wipe his brow and say, shoo, call the demons together. We're having a party. He's out of here. I want the devil to be happy. I'm gone, but honey, I want to have left some things behind. He spent all he had nothing. He spent all on nothing. He spent all and he gave nothing. He spent all and he became nothing. He spent all and he left nothing. Let me tell you this. The only thing that's going to keep you from spending it all is realizing the all that has been spent on you. Just keep looking at Calvary and realize the great price he paid for you to be where you're at. And it'll keep you from throwing everything away. Jesus said, let me give you a parable. He had it all. Came from the Father, but he spent it. Let us not spend it all.